I shall not be moved. Going by the water, shall not be moved. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And you know why we are not going to be moved? Because he's in control. Thank you, musicians. God is in control, and he's in control of my destiny and your destiny. And Satan has nothing to do with that. So I don't care what Satan do, he cannot move me. Because God is in control of my destiny, of my life. And whatever he let happen to me, still under his control. So let the earth shake and let the storm come. And we're just going to stand like a tree. We might have to kind of sway back and forward, and you know. But I tell you what, we are not going to be moved. Amen. We love what the Lord do for us. All his goodness and his faithfulness. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be standing here. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have a breath. Because he is my breath. He is the one that supplies even that to my lungs. So I can return it to him in praises. Every breath that I take, I want to make sure it is praising God for what he do and what he's going to be done in our lives. And I know you love God and you appreciate God for all that. Well, our brother needs a little rest. And he's getting a little bit more wise about taking rest. Before last year and the year before, he was like a rag doll, you know. But he has learned that if you don't rest, nobody rests, you know. Just like in the family, you know. If mama don't rest, nobody rests. You make sure mama take a rest. See? Well, okay. You just are not married. You don't know what I'm talking about. But you will find out one of these days. Let's stand up. So I got a lot of my forks. So let us get going. Amen. Romans 8:11. The Bible said, "But in the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you." If that spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in you, he said, "He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also," okay, "shall also quicken your mortal bodies." Amen. "By the spirit that dwells in you." Amen. If the same spirit that dwells in you is the same spirit that dwells in him, amen, it is done. Amen. There's no fear. It doesn't matter. I will not miss the rapture. Because if that spirit is in me, it will take care of that part. Amen. It doesn't matter if I feel it. It doesn't matter if I smell it. It doesn't matter if I see it or touch it. It doesn't matter. If that spirit is in me, it's over. Amen. Amen. I don't have to worry how it's going to happen or when it's going to happen. Amen. I know one thing. It's going to happen. Amen. And I will rest in that. And Ruth was resting. Let me go and finish the work. He says, she's just resting. And we should be resting tonight. Amen. Stop worrying about, you know, what's going to happen. A lot of things going out there that is not even worth for me to mention. You know, kids are dying, and that's terrible when a father and a mother has to go through things like that. I got my own and my own grandchildren, and I put myself in that situation. And some of you have been in that situation. I mean, I don't know what worse than a parent losing a child. But let's pray for them. But the Bible says it's going to get worse. It said dangerous days will come, and this is it. We are here. You think it's going to get better? I don't think so. One side of me feels for what's going on. But the other side of me says, you know, this cannot last too long. Amen. Because it had to be a quick work. You see what's going on now? Can you imagine you can multiply that for so many years? We can sustain. Not this way. Because the Bible says, and Jesus said, that if he don't shorten the days, no what? No soul be saved. But there will be a group of people that will be saved. Amen. Amen. Because God said it. And that's all it is to it. How he's going to do it, that is his on him. Anyway, so let us have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you once again for this opportunity that we have to see and to be taught by you, Father, by your word, an opportunity to learn, an opportunity for you to meet our needs in our hearts. It's just another time that we can come and praise you and worship you and let you have your way in our life, Father. Father, we need you tonight. We need you. We know that you already are here, but you said wherever there are two or three together in my name, I be here. And you are here. Your presence is here. Now supply every need, Father. Supply, you know what the hearts of every Christian here needs, Father. Those that are listening, I don't. But Father, I will put myself aside, throw myself aside, and you take this vessel, Father, and you use it for your glory and your honor tonight, so your people can be blessed, and then you can meet their expectations. And I know you're going to do even more than we expect. You always do, Father. You always outdo yourself. In Jesus' name, we ask you all these things, Father. Amen and amen. You can be seated. So let's look at the word quicken. I think I put a definition there of quicken. It says, to cause to live. See, one day you thought you was living the life. You thought you were living. I thought I was living the life. But the more I live, the more in trouble I got. And the less, you know, I was accomplishing, the less I was satisfied. See, because that wasn't life. But by the Spirit, now it causes us to live. Because at one time we were dead anyway in our trespasses and sin. But now we are no longer dead. Now we can live. We are alive and well. See, make us alive. Give life. So when we come to church, let's act like we have some life. Everything that has life on, everything that has a breath on it, praise the Lord. If you're here and you made it, that means you're alive. And thank for the Holy Spirit that brought you in here. So let's use this moment and let's return to God a portion of that he has deposited in us, the life, because that's the reason for the life. By a spiritual power to arouse and invigorate. See, the only reason I'm standing here and invigorated and I got energy is because it's life. Because every time I get up in the morning, I'm, it's taking me a little bit to get going. Because this carcass don't want to go. But there's something in here that wants to just get up and let's move. And I thank God for that life every day when I wake up and open my eyes. Wow, I'm still alive. So whatever I had to do that day, it will be to praise him, to worship him, whatever I had to do that day, to thank him for the life that he has given me. There's no losing here. No? They don't have to be upset or sometimes wake up, like you don't want to wake up anyway. You don't want to face another day in this world. Some of us don't even like to go to work and face another day, the boss and the friends, so-called friends or workers. But I'm glad that God has deposited a life in me that makes me live, even in any circumstance, in any situation. It says to restore to life. That's what we were restored to life. The life that was in Christ, that life is in me right now. Remember when you get in an accident, and you tunnel your car, the insurance will give you a promise. He says, we will restore your car to before the accident. It will look the same. Don't expect, that you had a bumper bad 20 years ago and now you're trying to squeeze it in the. They won't. Just to the time be just before the accident. So it's the same thing with us. God will restore us completely as we were before the foundation of the world. The way he saw me, he will restore me that way. Not this, but there's something in me that is being restored to his image that he had before the foundation of the world. So you have something to look for every day. It is a restoration process. It's a redeem process. It's not something that happens. Well, when that day comes, he waved that wand. No, sir, it's a process. We're going to see that it's a process. Restoration takes time. You that like to restore cars, Brother Calvary, it takes time. Find all the pieces, you know, and get them all, you know. Take the car apart completely. I mean, the preparation takes more than what it takes to put it together. I remember I used to work with my wife all the time. Preparation will take us more time and more energy than just putting the thing together. So sometimes we think the preparation is kind of hard and it's kind of tiresome. But see, it's a reward. At the end, the result is worth it. We just need to move forward and do it because God is restoring our lives day by day by day, from glory to glory to glory, so we can go back to be restored to what I were before the foundation. Whatever he has in his mind, that's where I want to go, to give increase of life. We don't have to wait to get there to have life. We can have it now, and we can have it abundantly, the Bible says. You don't have to sit there and well, you know, this is misery and this is hard. You can have life now. Your attitude, the way you behave, you converse with others, they know you have life or not. His life. Sometimes that's why people, you know, watch what you say to see if you do. Because if you have a life in there, it will make you. In fact, God don't have to make me. I want to. God don't have to make me come to church. I want to come to church. God don't have to restore me. I want him to restore me. God don't have to make me obedient to his will and his word. I just want to do that. And that's my attitude tonight. So because he had deposited life abundantly. He said to give increase of life, as well as, like I said, let your life prosper as your soul prosper. So right here, right now, tomorrow, I can assure you. And if you don't do it, then it's on you. Tomorrow, you're going to be better than today. Yes. Amen. Oh, okay. So 7 of you agree with that. So what are the rest of you going to do tomorrow? You're going to be the same? Listen, there's no neutral here. There's not absolute zero. Either you're in the left or you're in the right. Either you're going back or you're going forward. I already decided tomorrow is forward. And the next day is forward. And the next day forward. Why? Because I got in me what it takes to do that. Oh, but what, brother, this, all the things that are going to come. Well, if that's what you're going to look at, you're going to be depressed. But if you look at the word and you look at what he has said and he has promised you, how can you be depressed? Because he's offered you life, abundantly, eternal life. You cannot even die. Now, squeeze that water and drink it without going to squish you another orange like we said in Puerto Rico. Drink that one while I make you another one. Oh, whatever that is, you drink. And out of the Spirit says, quicken as respect to spirit and do with new and greater power of life. I'm glad he put that there. Not in do with old or kind of same as yesterday. No. New and greater. Here, now I'm not talking about, you know, when he comes in the rapture. Right now, your life should be going forward. Amen. Growing up in greatness. And that's what people are seeing out there. You know, it doesn't matter what you say, it's what they see. You know? That in the midst of troubles, in the midst of circumstances, in the midst of whatever, you still have a hope. Not like the world has a hope. See? There's life. Brother Branham says, I am wondering today at what's happening. Are we really getting the people to God, or are we just getting them to church? Church cannot produce this stuff. Pastor cannot. I cannot produce this stuff. Only God can do this. Say, joining to church, we must get them to Christ, where there is quickening power. It is good to go to church. Sure, it is that as far as we go. It is not far enough. If that's all we do, come to church and come to service just to do that, that's not good enough. We need to enter in. Amen. We need to be ready to accept and take whatever the word of God is going to give us tonight. Amen. If not, just church, another church. He said, we don't come to church because we must receive the quickening power. So that means that you don't get it all at once. Yes, potentially you have it all. Potentially you already made the rapture. But it's a process, brother. It's a process. You come to church so you can continue growing and getting more quickening power. But I thought I have enough. I mean, he already deposited. Yes, the deposit is there. But that was a deposit. I want the whole enchilada. But you will not get that until there's a change. But however, you get closer and closer and closer and closer and closer. And the closer you get, the more you grow. And then as you grow and as you grow, you see the evidence. You see the promise in you being fulfilled. See? The more you get closer to him, the more you see yourself. You see evidence that something is happening in your body. You know, and you cannot explain it. Nobody can explain it. It is that, as far as we go, it's not enough. When you come to church, that's good. But go on to Christ from the church, because we must receive the quickening power if we ever expect to be in the general run, resurrection. Because it is only thing that will ever bring us from the dead. God is the only one can raise the dead to life. No one else can do. He says, for if this spirit that rise up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it will also quicken, bring to life your mortal bodies. What a promise to us. See, it is all about his promise. Amen. Jesus made that claim. God made that claim. It wasn't me. God promised that. Amen. So it is on God to prove it, not on me. I'm just a vassal, you know. I don't have to prove. He is the one who has to prove that he lives in me. But I have to be ready and willing to let go and let him do that. You know, you have a glove at home that you work, and us that we work carpentry, and we wear this heavy glove, and mechanics sometimes they put glove. You take that glove and you throw it out there, and what it looks like, like a rag doll, not life. It's just there. Until you pick it up and you put it on, another glove work. It works any way you want it to do with him. It wants to do a face, it wants a stretch, it wants a grab, but without the life behind it, it's just a glove. And that's who you are. And that's what I am. And that's why we are, a glove. And God wants to use you. But you have to surrender. We have to surrender the life to him and let his life in us feed us. These instruments cannot play by themselves. There has to be a source. There has something behind it. See, by themselves, they're sitting there and they're not making even a peep noise. Sometimes it's good not to have noise. But anyway, this is no noise. This is music. See, without God, we can do nothing. We are nothing. Our lives just are flat nothing. So, because God has to prove, and that's what happened to Jesus. Jesus, God came himself to prove his promises. He came to prove what he said he will do. And you are here for the same reason. God wants to prove that God is real. God wants to prove to that world out there that there is a God that exists, and is a real God with real blessings, real promises. We're not worshiping something out there, you know, of an imagination. There's a real God. What is the proof? You are the proof. God could have chose to do it himself and send angels. No, but he chose you and he chose me. So we can tell the world, but you cannot only tell. You have to show with your life that he's living in you. So the burden falls in God to prove. And that is what happened when you go to court and you have a claim and you become a plaintiff, you know, because somebody did something. And you want to make sure you get paid or you get this fixed or whatever. So you put a claim, you know. But you be sure that you have all your facts together, because the proof of the burden, or the burden of the proof, is in you, not on the court, not on the judge. You need to prove that you have enough facts and that you can prove that this is truth, what you're talking about. So that burden is on you. So then the court will decide, do you have a claim or not? It is a possibility, it is viable that you got a thing, that this claim is based on facts or not. But see, the burden was on God as well. God was responsible, see, and produced enough evidence that support that God is the God that he is, that he is a true God. And he provides enough support and evidence that his word works. Amen. See? But it was on him to prove it. Not on you. It was on him. So he comes as in the body of Jesus to prove it. See? To prove that he was the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. See, he didn't choose an angel. He didn't choose a human. He chose himself to come down to prove to the world that he's real. Amen. And whatever promise in the Old Testament, it was true. It was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Amen. So, let's see how this happened. Because we need to understand what measuring stick we are using. You know, we are measuring, we have to measure our life to something, and that is the word. I'm not saying that you measure your brother to your understanding. I say we measure ourselves. When we look at this word, at the mirror of this word, we measure ourselves to that. So that's what Jesus did. Jesus said in John 14:8, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it will be enough. See, even the disciples did not believe. Every time he talked, he said, well, okay, I hear you, but show me. Right. See? We're skeptical sometimes. We should not be. We should be believers. Amen. But they were man without the Holy Spirit yet. They were not alive. He says, show us the Father. I know what you're saying. Show us the facts. And then here, so Jesus answered and said to him in John 2:18. What sign do you show to us since you do these things? Okay, the Pharisees, Sadducees, I see what you're doing, but show me. Show you what? Enough that you see what he's doing, you see? And then in Matthew 12:39, said, but he answered and said unto them again, an evil and adulterous generation that seeketh after signs, the Greek was seeking after signs too. He says, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. So you want to have facts that what we're talking about is true here tonight? Well, there's no signs. The sign already has been given. And the only sign you're going to get is, he said it, and he will bring it to pass. He said it, I left something in the mirror. If you can believe it, he bring it to pass. And when he bring it to pass, he interpret his own words, see? But you have to believe that. There's a choice. And they will believe you. You know, no, you won't. They won't. You can show the world everything you want to, and they still don't believe you. Because that's not how it works. Believe, and you can see. But they were human beings, just like us today. And Jesus said, Psalm 16:10, because God has proven from years and years and 6,000 years that he's the only one that can quick the dead to life. See, Jesus did it how many times? Psalm 16:10 says, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy holy one to see corruption. See? The NIV says, for you will not leave my soul among the dead and allow your holy one to rot in the grave. See? So, Jesus made some claims, just like God made claims. And they said, but prove it. I said, no, this is the only sign we're going to give you, the sign of the prophet Jonah. Because he said, I am, Jesus told Martha, I am the resurrection. And if you can believe that, you know. But he said, well, show me. What do you want me to do? To die right here and bring myself back up? He was going to do it, but not then. It's not going to be a show. And he's Satan, he's not going to have to show him anything. Because he has already proven life after years after years that his word, his promises, he backs it up. And he can bring them to pass. And that's what I'm betting on. Not betting, I hate to use that word, but that's what I'm here for. Because I know that the word that he started, he will finish it. He told me that. He promised me that. You think I'm going to ask him, show me? No. Just keep moving and just keep moving and keep coming to church and keep growing and keep growing. And you start seeing the evidence that God is in you and he's fulfilling that promise. That's the only way that you believe, and he will interpret that as you move, as you grow. You see those words being fulfilled. So they asked Jesus, well, show us. But Jesus said, no. And today, I tell you, it's no. He already did everything that he was going to do in the cross. Okay? If he was here tonight in the body, and you ask him to do for you, he said, I cannot do nothing else. I have done everything. When he died in the cross, every promise in the Bible is yours. You don't have to prove anything else. Just believe it. Just believe it. Brother Brown said in Easter Seal, now. But before I move to there, read this. I read those verses because Jesus made some claim. God has been making claims from the beginning. But Jesus made claims. I am the resurrection. I will rise again. And you will see it. So this is the same thing with us tonight. You know, we are making claims. I'm making claims that I am a Christian. I am a son of God. And now I am going to resurrect. I'm making claims. But I'm not making claims because I want to make them, because that's what he said to me. That's what he said will happen. So all the promises, I can claim them. He said, I started the work and I will finish it. I will restore you. I will give you life and you will be raptured. Now, don't ask me to show you. It's all by faith. I cannot show you. But I know one thing. I believe it. He promised to me. And he has never failed. When have you seen God failing in the Bible? So I know one thing. I don't care how he's going to do it. I know that he's going to do it in my life. So I continue moving forward, believing that he's going to bring that to pass in my life. And Jesus knew that too. He says, David said, I will not leave my soul to hell. He was talking about Christ's resurrection. So in simple words, what we're saying is, you need to find yourself in the scriptures. Because that's how he did it. He knew that those scriptures pertain to him. So that's why he can make the claim. Not because he wanted to, because God already said it. God already prophesied, and he said, ask me, and that's me, and that has to happen. And the same thing with you and me today. You got to claim every promise. And you got to say, that's me, that's me, that's me, and that's me. That's what Brother Dr. Tommy gets over here, and he makes a claim. And he says, well, don't look at me that way. You should be making that claim. Because it's not your claim. That is what God is going to do for you. That's why he left out the promise. So, from glory to glory, he's going to change my life. He is going to change my life. And that's what I said. I'm not changing my life. I just believe that he's going to do it. I guess I'm dumb enough to believe that he's going to do it. Don't ask me to show you. Because if it's not appear what it is now, it will one of these days. Now, the seals. Now, the Holy Spirit is here on earth. Looking out for those individuals that God has ordained to life. See? We were ordained to life. This is not something that just happened. I think I choose. Oh, yeah, Oscar Jr. I'm going to shoot you. You want life? No. Even if you want it, You cannot have it. Because God has mercy on whoever he wants to have mercy. He's the one that chooses. And I am so glad that he chose me. I can make that claim because I know he sealed the deal with the Holy Spirit in me. It's sealed. That spirit that is going to quicken, Christ is going to quicken me. That seal is so. He said, now the Holy Spirit is here in earth looking for those individuals that God has ordained to life. So you have to understand, you are ordained for life. So it doesn't matter what the devil do, you are ordained for life. So you should not be walking down and like and out because, well, this situation and that situation and Putin and the bombs and the war. I don't care. And the new monkey rap, whatever it is, monkey path, you know, that we got out there now. I don't care. Right. He promised me. He promised me. And that's all I care. He says, just like did in Jesus Christ, the great super son. He says, and as soon as it finds it, He does just like he did in Jesus Christ, the great super son God. He says, who redeem us, God, who redeem us, he comes down and take his place to abode in our human life. So Christ came, he died, and now he lives in my life. Show me. Yeah, show me. Why don't you stick around maybe long enough and you will see it. But right now, I believe this because that's what he said. Notice, he brought the quicken power. Now, that quicken power that come upon Jesus quickened him to manifest every promise of the word of that day. So you also need the quicken power to manifest all the word that it came to our day. That is what that power is for, to quicken you to this message. And when somebody said, what is the message? Here it is, see? Amen. But this is why you're here today. That's why you have been quickened. So you can live the life today that message offer us, see? And if it's not happening, then let's just search ourselves. But that's what you're here for. You know, Brother Van says, no, the only place that they are going to see God is in you. See, God wanted to do it. He could have done it. Jesus could have come down on the cross. He could have done it all. But no, he wants you. He wants to use you to show the world that God exists. And his promises are yea, nay. They are yes and yes. Come upon this. He says, so Jesus and the Holy Spirit come upon on these days. And it is not a mockery, Holy Spirit. It is not the devil marking the Holy Spirit, but is the real true Holy Spirit. If it is the real true Holy Spirit, it will manifest the promise of this hour. So where is the, you know, depression? Where is the this and the that? Only rest that if it sees you with the Holy Spirit, you will manifest all the promises of this hour. When he fell upon Luther, he manifests his promise in that hour. When he fell upon Wesley, he manifests the promise of that hour. When he fell into this day, he manifests the promise of this hour. I am the manifestation of the promise of God for this hour. Okay? It's not a mockery. I'm not playing with words. This is what he said. And I just believe it. You know when I come to church, you know what I mean this message, because that spirit that he put in me is put me towards me, leads me towards this message of the hour. It's not me. I didn't even know it was a message. Until that spirit comes and he leads you right to the truth. This is the truth. He said, manifest the promise of this hour. It fell on Noah, he manifested that promise. At that hour. When he fell upon Jesus, he manifests the promise of that hour. Now notice, it is the earnest of the potential. See, it's a down payment of the potential. So you potentially, you know, have it. Have all the promise. You're potentially going to be what he already saw you before the foundation. But You cannot just sit and say, okay, well, I'll sit here and wait for the rest. No. It says, the quickening power of your resurrection, when you receive the Holy Spirit, is then dwelling in you. The potential of it. The Holy Ghost is your, the potential that God already accepted you. You know? Notice, you are now in your way. You're not there, but you're in your way. So don't get frustrated. And don't get tired. And don't get whatever. You know? Because you're on your way. Growing, growing to the fullest of the resurrection. You got an earnest. It's your potential. But you got growing and growing to that. And that's why we come to church. Because it says no tree just come up overnight. It has to grow. And that's what we hear. So we can teach you. So we can preach the word. So you can grow. Amen. We grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. You are baptized into the Holy Spirit now. And the Pentecostal church. As the Pentecostal church baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then you began to go out. To grow. It's a process. Amen. Word upon word. You know. Blah, 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 blah. From glory to glory. Until one of these days, you do like Enoch. Yes. Step here, step there, a statue here, a word here, until one of these days, you find yourself floating in the air. Amen. But you have to just give it all. You just cannot just get tired. Even when you're tired, I'm not saying we get tired, even when you're tired, just drag yourself, drag this thing in church. Because you need to grow. You need to hear the word of knowledge. You need to hear the word of truth. So you continue growing and growing and growing. He says, baptizing the Holy Spirit, it is begun growing. Limb has to die. See, that's the situation we go through. He has to prune us. He sees things that he don't like. And I know, things in my life that I don't like. You don't have to tell me. I got a lease longer than yours. But he comes and prune me. It hurts, yes. I don't know about the trees. My wife said that they do, you know, when you clip them. You know. Because I know she's the one do all the clipping. And if I'm not careful, she will clip me too. Oh, yeah. She don't spare no life. Don't bring any. Like in war. He says, a begun growing limb has to die. So sometimes things have to die in our life and it hurts. And God brings situations for, you know, to get rid of those things. Chop, chop here. And the word comes and chop, chop there. But don't get upset. God is doing a work in you. Because God knows what you need and what you don't need. And he start growing and you start growing and you start growing. It's amazing. You know, my wife and I, we prune the trees. Last year, she took all the roses, you know, before the freeze comes. And they were this high. And then suddenly, I went to look at them, and they down here, your little stick sticking out. I said, what did you do? You killed them. No, don't worry about it. They will come back. No, okay. Look at there. I'm going to pull them out. They are dry. No, leave them. They will come back. And today, they're just big. And giving roses and everything. And sometimes God has to come back and God to cut you and it hurts and you don't like the situation you go through. And I don't like him neither. Who likes pain and suffering? If you do, you're weird then because I don't. As Malachi, you know, you like that surgery? You like that pain after and before? Who likes pain? Just get rid of that stuff. You know, that's all I want. So, the Lord do things in our life. You know, Peter says, count it all joy. What's wrong with you? Count it all joy when you have been tested. Yeah. Don't come to church dragging like, oh, what's wrong? No, I'm going through this. Just count it all joy. I'm not being insensitive. I go through the same thing and even sometimes like you go through. I got things God has to prune out of my life. I didn't come this far just because myself. So a lot of things had to fall off. A lot of things. You know, but that is the thing. He says, and it's still going on. It will go on until the day of this body change. So if you want me to tell you that things are getting better, no, it's going to go on and on and on until we get out of here. So might as well just be happy and move forward. Count it all joy, he says, because it is God to come to the resurrection. And there's no other way. Sorry, Jesus neither. There's no other way to come to that resurrection. But what? His way. But rest, because he's going to do it. He started the work. He's going to do it. How can I miss it? I got that earnest. And he's working on it. He said, I'm going to work on it. Just rest on me. Rest on my promises. I'm working on it. And God cannot fail. You know, the other day I was just going around the house and mourning and I was hurting. And I have a tooth here that I cracked. It was an old feeling anyway. Old feeling. Maybe 20 years ago, you know. It lasted long enough, but I like to eat those hard oinkers, I call them, those chicharrones, if you know what that is. And the harder, the better. I like to. Well, you know, I'm getting older, and my body's kind of degrading. And I didn't know. I thought I could chew those crinkles all the rest of my life until I die. No, I took one and he split my tooth in half so hard that I had to. It's painful. And I kept licking that side. I licked that thing here because I have an abscess. I went to the doctor. He gave me, he tells me, the dentist says, oh, okay, maybe we take it next week because you have an abscess. You have a little bit of infection. I cannot do it. I said, why not? Well, because what happened when we put the numb medicine there, the infection will ease it up. And then when I start working on it, it's going to hurt you. It just kind of ease it up. Come on, I said, well, I'm going to give you some penicillin. I said, I don't want penicillin. Penicillin is too hard in my body. It kills all my good, you know, whatever. Then I had to start all over again. Why don't you just give me one of those antibiotics, you know, that has been so hard on me? No, I can't. Why? Well, because when you have a throat ache or when you have an infection in your sinus or when you have ear infection, we give you antibiotics. But for a tooth, you need penicillin. That's the only thing that will kill that. I said, oh, by then I stopped talking to him. He told me no, no. So he left. I didn't want to do penicillin. So I keep licking that side. It hurts, and I keep sucking on the tooth, bleeding out. So I keep licking her. And then I said, I'm not taking the penicillin. So finally, I left the office, and she gave me the penicillin, and the whole thing called Walgreens, and they had it over there. And so I know a little bit about, you know, at least my daughter do about homeopathic, so I was using that. So I used it all last week. And I kept licking that thing, and I hurt. And so after a week taking homeopathic, it didn't work out. I looked at it, and I said, it got worse. So I went this week, and I had to cancel the appointment because this week I was supposed to take the last week. So I had to cancel the appointment because I know that dentist is going to jump on me because it's the same. Because I didn't take the penicillin, and I'm going to have to tell him, and I don't want to lie to him. So I said, I cancel. Then when I got the penicillin, and I'm taking the penicillin now. So all week, and, you know, it does sometimes happen to us. You know, we just, you know, the Lord rebuked me. He says, didn't I tell you through a prophet that if you go to a doctor, do everything that the doctor told you to do? Well, I had to be chop too. And I said, I'm sorry, Lord. I had to ask God to forgive me. That's true. Now, if you decide to believe me and to believe for my healing, then Brother Van says, do that. But if you went to the dentist and you already compromised and he told you to take the thing, how can you say no now when I told you to do what? Okay, I heard it the first time. Okay. Oh, so I got the penicillin and I said, sorry, Lord. Because he made me sure. See, nothing can harm you. Because that's the whole deal. We think that's going to harm me. The Bible said, even if you take any venomous sting, it says it will not affect you. We already have promises for me, so don't worry about it, what the penicillin is going to do to you, because whatever it's going to do to you, God is going to take care of it. So I mourned, and I heard of it, and I licked that tooth, and I kind of keep thinking, and this is still the same. And that's, then I started thinking, you know, that's what happened to us sometimes. We come to church, and we're still licking our old wounds. Satan hurt you this week with something, and now we come to church, we're still licking the old wound. Like licking the wound is going to make it better. You know, it's not going to make it better. In fact, you're going to make it worse if you continue licking and that. So I said, you know, and sometimes we come to church and licking old wounds, but this happened and that happened. And I've been insensitive. Yes, I know it happens. It happens. But the more we talk about it, and the more we try to make sense, and the more I want to do, well, this is what I'm supposed to do, but I'm thinking I'm going to do this because I know better. Now we keep licking the wounds. Well, the two things get better. But see, the Bible says when you come to church and when you know the promises, take the sweet word of God like honey and put it on the rock, it says, and the rock is Jesus Christ, and get to licking on that. When you come to church, start leaking on that word, on that rock that is Jesus. And you will get all the nutrients and you will get everything that you need and you will be better. Right. Start leaking your old wounds. It happened, it did happen, now let's move forward. Right. Because the longer you keep reminding that, the more you keep going down memory lane, the more you go that way, you get the worse you get. Right. Stop leaking your wounds and leaking the word of God. Amen. On that rock that is Jesus Christ. You laugh, but that's the only way I can put it to you. I am me, and you are you. And I told the guys today, praying, hey, I cannot preach, but at least I can look good. And then they did the same thing, they laughed. So stop licking the wounds, and let's start licking on that word, on that rock, that is Jesus Christ. And you're going to get all the nutrients that you need to change this body. The more we complain, nobody hears, nobody cares anyway. Because nobody likes to be alone, complainers and murmurers. And that's what happened when they came out of the Exodus the first time. Brother Branham said, Dr. Moses, if you said, I believe I'm safe, then God gives you the Holy Spirit to confirm it. This is something that I cannot show you. This is something that you only know and I know. Why? Because he told me. I cannot show you. But I know that I know that I know that he spoke to me. And he sealed me with the Holy Ghost. He says, give you the witness of the Holy Spirit that right in your heart, every sin passed away. Blackness turned to day. And the old man is gone. I don't care how much we want to resurrect it. It's gone. Sorry, I got news for you. The old man is gone. And the quicker you understand, the quicker you leave him out there, you better be off without him. See? Not that you're not going to drag him all the way, but he's dead. He says, it's gone, and a new man has been born again when you really believe. But you said, I believe, and then nothing happens. See? He says, you go on living the same life. So that means you believe it, but there's no change. There's no evidence that we are claiming that we have the Holy Spirit. We continue the same way. Right. See, that is your measuring stick. It's not me. You claiming something. I'm claiming something. Where is the evidence? Right. Ask Jesus, show us. You know how to show. Either it's there or it's not there. And if it's there, I will see it. And everybody else will see it. They want to believe it, that's a different story. But he says, I believe nothing happened. You go on living the same life. Just simply join church. You come to church and you say, well, nothing happened in church today or tonight. I didn't like the music. It was too slow. It was too fast. Well, I like it when they play my music. Oh, no, I don't know. Some people scream that. Some people scream, I didn't see anything. I didn't hear anything. I didn't feel anything. But you don't have to. It's not by feelings. It's not by the senses. But it's by the promise. The promise says that with two or three gathered together, he is here. So if he's here and he promised to me, forget about your feelings. Forget about your problem. Forget about whatever happening in your life, because it had nothing to do with anything. Might as well enjoy yourself. If you didn't like the music, had nothing to do with what kind of music is playing to begin with. I mean, if you change depend on the music, I feel sorry for you. Because most of the time we have a variety of, I'm from Puerto Rico. You know, we have a different music, a different culture. And you're from Mexico, another culture. But we don't come here because we are greeting what is going to be played. That's not going to what is changing me. But, however, I come into the store and I will enjoy, because I got life. I will enjoy whatever we are doing. I don't come to see. I just don't come to feel. I know what he told me, and that's where I'm coming. He promised me that when I come to church, it's going to change me from glory to glory to glory. I didn't come to church to sit down back there and say, well, let me see what happened. Show me. Show me, Pastor. Preach me a good sermon. I don't have to show you anything. I just preach the word, and if that word cannot change you, forget it. I can't change you. If you don't get anything because your attitude, it's not my fault. It is on you. It's your my responsibility to tell you what the word says, what he said. That is truth. Your responsibility is to believe it and let it be an evidence in your life. When it's fulfilled and manifests, that's the truth. So we don't go by feelings. So, you know, we just come because he said he bade us to come. And that's enough for me. He said he will bless me. He said he will finish me. He said the hope of glory is Christ in you. He promised me all this stuff. So how can I sit down and just be kind of a, okay, let's see what's happened tonight. I know what happened already tonight. Because he promised me that I'm going to grow up slowly. And tonight you are growing up. Maybe your brain cannot understand it. Maybe my brain cannot figure it out. But your soul can. Your mind don't know what's going on. I'm glad it's done. But the soul is getting fed. He says, I believe in the Bible. He says, let's see what I was at. Dr. Moses. He says, and nothing happens. You go and live in the same life. Just simply, I always say, you go and live in the same lie. Because if he's not doing for you, then what is this? God cannot lie. He said it has to happen. He says, but you believe and then nothing happens. You go on living the same life. Just simply, I joined church. He never accepted it. See, we don't have the Holy Ghost and we don't believe and we don't have it. He never accepted it. But when he accepted your faith. See, something happened to you and then you become a new creature. So the guy that is coming to this church is no longer the guy that used to come in here. If that is lying to me, and he cannot lie. Something's about divine healing. You said, I believe in divine healing. Well, then you accept it. Something has to happen. You came to church to hear the word. Something has to happen. Amen. Something has to. I cannot live here the same way I came in. Something. Maybe you cannot put it, cannot reason it. You cannot see it. You cannot figure it out. There's no logic to it. But I tell you one thing. Tonight, something is going to happen. You will not be the same person that came in. Now, the only thing that I see a problem is that we see each other every week two or three times. So we don't see too much growth. You know, my father, Tina, I go and see her once a year. Last year I went, and this year Isabel is up here. Last year she was here. See, I can see growth. But when I see you every day and every week, I might don't see growth, but you are growing. We're growing in a small measurement. But if I don't see you now and I see you next year, when I go home and I go to Puerto Rico and I stay that month and I come back and you guys look better than when I left, I'm glad. You know what? I should leave more often. Where is this going to happen? How is this going to happen? This is, take the rod and gather the people. All right. I had to be fast. Isn't that just like the church today? Come out of Egypt. Come out of the world. Out there, out here in the glorious church of the living God, the firstborn. And because we have a little trials, God asks us to believe and to hold on. In fact, you ain't got no choice in this matter. Forget about complaining. Forget about everything. The only thing you have is just hold on. Because in the morning will come your healing. You will not be that way forever. I'm not going to be this forever. Because I know change is taking place. And I just need to go on. I need to go on. He says, Church of Living God, he says, the firstborn, and because we have a little trial, God asks us to believe and to hold on. We still complain anyway. We still murmur. We still, I don't know. This is happening. We shouldn't complain. Now notice, another thing they had done, they left the people back there that had no signs to live under the pillar of fire on a cloud. And was complaining about it. No wonder the water supply was cut off. That's what's the matter with the church today. There's too much grumbling about things, complaining about things. Be satisfied and keep moving. Press on. Ain't that simple? Oh, it hurts? I know it hurts. But let's move on. Because God is working on it. But this is never going to be over. Yes, it will be over. Nothing lasts forever. I already figured out. I'm 73. One thing I have figured out. Nothing lasts forever. When I was in the army, I kept saying, nothing lasts forever. Now, just for a season. Only for a season. Now, Joseph's brethren, Dr. Moses again. So Joseph's brethren hated him without a cause because he was a spiritual. It is a type of the church, so-called today. All different denominations, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Holiness, and all others, despising the former lukewarm members of the church. Not all of them are. Many of them are born again, Christian out of every one of them. But the ones who are just normal, nominal Christian, just professed Christians that's never been vindicated by God. That's by spiritual revelation. That is on you. That is on me. You profess to believe this message. Where's your vindication? Where's my vindication? Well, when things are happening in our life, we know what the vindication is at. That's what the reason the things happening in our life. So God can vindicate that He's God. He's God on the throne, that He's God in control. The thing that happens is to tell you that God loves you and that God is working on that. If nothing happened to us, how do you know this God is in heaven? How do you know God is a healer? How do you know God is safe soul if nobody to be safe and everybody's well, like robots, you know? So He says, vindicate by God, by spiritual revelation. That's the only way that you or ever know. That's the way that you will ever know what the real meaning of the power and healing and salvation really means. It when it happens to you. See? And when it happens to you and you know, you don't complain anymore. In fact, everything that comes to me, I had it coming. I deserve what comes to me. See, sometimes we, why this happened to me, God? I go to church. I do this. I'm a this. I'm a that. See, most of the stuff that happened to us is because of our own fault anyway. Or who are we going to fault? God? That's what the people do out there when things happen. Right away, God, if you God, why you let this happen? Well, that had nothing to do with God. That was you. So what I'm saying is most of the stuff that happened to us is for our own benefit anyway. And we are at fault anyway. We should might as well repent and let God do the work that he already intended to do in our life. You will never learn it any other else, only by revelation. And when the church lies dead for so long, and when your church don't have a revival, and when the pastor just stands and with a cold cut, dry sermon, when somebody says amen, everybody wants the deacon to take him out of the building. When you get a church like that, it's laid dormant. No, that's the church. I'm talking about myself. I don't want to be dormant. You know what dormant is? You know, a plant lays in the ground dormant until the light strikes it. That means nothing is happening as long as it's dormant. Because it takes the power of God or the Holy Ghost to come and bring that thing to life. That's what we are. We were dead, undone. We were in the darkness. But that light, that spirit, the power of that spirit came on us and brought us back alive. Do you think I want to go back to that? No. How many of you want to go back to that life? I won't go back. It's too late. I'm here. And the only way is forward. He says, when you get to church like that, it's laid dormant. Then, oh, let go. Let God send his man and their ones. Watch what will take place. The revival fires will come back. And this altar again, people will be crying out for mercy to their souls. Life will be straightened up. Healing will take place in the church. Signs and wonders will begin to happen. For where the Creator God is, new creation comes, new life comes, new hope comes. Everything comes when Jesus comes. And you already invited him to come. In fact, before you came, he's here. And you don't think nothing is going to happen? Are you going to live the same way you came? How can you? How can you? Impossible. It's just not. God cannot lie to me. God cannot lie. That's the only thing he cannot do. I expect to be better when I leave this place. I come to church, I want to be better when I leave this place. When I hear his word. What we need tonight over the United States is a good old-fashioned confession. Might as well confess it. Like I was telling you, you know, and the dentist and the penicillin. I'm licking my wound. Confess it. This is what I'm doing. God is going to, you know, God already knows it. There's nothing new for God. He already knew what I'm doing. He's waiting for me to repent. I said, sorry, Lord. That's the truth. That's what your prophet said. I messed up. That's all he's waiting for us to really confess that we are wrong. He said, United States, good old-fashioned confession, right? Admitting your error. I'm in error. And ask God for mercy. I'm not telling you how to confess to the pastor or confess to some brother or sister. God knows what's going on in your life. In fact, you know, you might lie to me. You cannot lie to God. You know how your life is matches with God's words. You know that. You know if your life is lined up with God. I don't have to tell you. I don't have to rebuke you from the pulpit. You know if your life tells what it is or what it's not. And if it's not, just simply. Listen, he don't want you to run away from him. When there's things that are wrong, don't run away from God. God wants you to run to him. You know why? Because he wants to help you. Because you know what happens if he don't? Then he breaks his word. Because he says, I call you. And you are my son. You know? And I give you life. And you will be with me. He already said it. How can we break his own word? He can't break his word. He cannot lie to me. You already called me. You think he made a mistake, and now he has me to you. So, well, I think I made a mistake, Eli. You need to go back. Go back where? Told the disciple, where you guys want to go to? Where? Where am I going to go? When I know that life is here. Life is in this message. Life is here. Where am I going to go? Already, he promised me. And I must stick to it. And Brother Brown says, I stick to it. It doesn't matter when I get there. He tells me, depart from me. But if it leads the spirit of me, I will live to hell with the sweet spirit. And I won't want him in hell neither. They're going to kick him out of there too. So where he's going to go? So even that day, he refused me. I know God is just enough that he's right. So I just go. He says, how? He says, well, we need tonight. He says, but have an old-fashioned confession. Lord, we have done wrong. Amen. Now, the Easter seal again. Now watch it. I also was designed to give them after this abstract. It was designed to give them after this abstract. It was designed to give them every promise that was on the ground. Every promise on the grounds of God's word that was promised in the Bible is mine. How can I fail? It cannot, and I can. Why? Every promise of the Bible is mine. The abstract. You know what the abstract is? When you have a record, I don't know if I... Wow, you're way up there. You're going to be late if you don't get caught up with me. No. So the abstract. You know what an abstract is? It's a record of a property. You buy a property, and then you have to have this deed that makes you the owner of this thing. See? So, and then an abstract is part of the title, you know, a title of whatever it is, and the measurements, and the distance, the whole description, and then that's an abstract. So it belongs to you. It has your name. This belongs to Eli Ortiz. He already gave me an abstract, and it's already signed. Hallelujah. You know, the change of my body is mine. Hallelujah. It's already signed. Hallelujah. He said, this is yours. All these promises are yours. How can I not love him? See, he already transferred me from the darkness to the kingdom of light. I've been transferred already. So I know that God is going to fulfill his promises, all his promises. He says over here, let me see if I can keep this from sliding again. Okay. He says, notice the Exodus. And you're still in the, you're going to be late. You're going to be until 11 if you don't get caught up with me. Why? He says, God is here and you're here. And what is the reason that God is here? What is the reason that you are here? It should be the question. You are here to prove that God is real. That's it. You are here because God wants to prove to the world that he's real. Jesus came to prove that God was real and that God had power to raise the dead. Brother Branham says in Exodus, notice the Exodus calling out is mean the calling out. So God, when he got ready to do this, there was nothing in the world that man could do or put a hand on it. God did it himself. This is not man. This is not call me. This is not the church. God called me here. Amen. See? So if it was man, I will be very disappointed. But see, God was the one who chose me. God called me out, and God brought me here. Amen. So I got nothing to do with it. So if you have a problem, talk to my boss. Because this is all his work. He says, so no matter how much we try to say this organization do it, this denomination will do it, God will do it. That is the only one that can do it. It will be the sovereign grace of God that comes down and unites the church together. They call out, and we have an exodus. Brother Brown says over here, I'm going to read a few of these. He says, notice the Pentecost, their bodies were quickened by the new life they received. That makes me feel religious. Let us take men here, he talks, that were quickened with power. Enoch, Hob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Enoch was so full of the quickened power that he just walked. He just moved forward. He believed God. In everyday things, in every little thing, he believed God. He did what he's supposed to do. And one day he walked until he just walked out. That's what the quickening power will do. That's what Brother Brown says, go on. Continue, go on. Just go to church. Just do what God asks you to do. God will then fulfill his promises when that time comes. And also Enoch and Hob. You know, he says, I don't care. He was so full of quickening power that he says, even if my flesh die, even if the earthworms, flesh worm in my flesh, I will see him in my flesh. Now, that is kind of a big statement, but he was full of quickening power. He has that power of the Holy Ghost. Abraham, Sarah, can you imagine? So full of that quickening power that one day they just, you know, Abraham looked at her. Oh, wow. You look about 18 years old. What happened? Wait a minute. I cannot believe it. And then she looks and says, they're so full of the quickening power that their body changed. And you had the same quickening power today. And one of these days, we are going to change. You know, in open and closing of an eyelid. But see, we need to move on. Because the power is already in you and in me. It's already there. Listen, there's no way you can miss the rapture. If you are sealed with the Holy Ghost, there's no way. So don't worry about it. And so try to figure out, well, first California is going to fall. Well, this has got to happen. Whatever happens, it happens. The bomb goes right here and blows up. It doesn't matter. Because I cannot die no more than God can die. You already made it. Now I'm glad what Brother Doug preached about the requirements and the characteristics and the expectations of a woman and a Christian woman and a son of God and a daughter of God. See? Because that spirit in you will mold you. It will shape you. It will make you desire the word of God. It will make you be obedient. It will make you, even though I don't need to be made, I want him to do it. Because the church cannot do it. If you think we're going to mold you and shape you, you're wrong. And I am wrong too, believing that that's going to happen. The only one can shape our life is him. And says, and we saw Jacob and we saw Moses. Moses, what a prophet. Even spoke, full of that life. Elijah, left in a chariot, didn't even see death. And if we just quickly come to the 2000. Jesus Christ was so full of that quickening power that he rose. Whatever he said, whatever the word said, it happens. And then Brother Branham, we come all the way. Paul, look at Paul. Paul was so full of that quickening power that one day, after he was shipwrecked and never died a day in the sea, floated and they all floated there to an island and they was making a fire to get all warm up and eat something. And he went to reach for a piece of wood and a snake. Was the worst snake that can bite. That was a snake that you died in minutes. And the Icelander there, they start looking at, you know, because they knew. He said, look at this guy. He went through all that stuff and he went through all that problem and all that to die right here ashore. He must have been guilty. See, he tried to say, but, you know, it comes to you sooner or later. He was judged and that's it. And he just kept bringing the word. He shook his hand. He was so full of that quickening power that he just continued. And the people kept watching. And he just continued and never died. See, that is I want to be. I want my life to be so saturated. You know, all my every fiber, every in my flesh to be saturated with the Holy Ghost. And you know, Satan cannot penetrate. You know, sometimes we have problems. I think we're not filled completely to the top. We're not saturated with the Holy Spirit. We got the Holy Spirit, but I don't want just to have the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to have me. I want to be filled to the top of my head, to the bottom of my feet. I want to have so much quickening power that when the COVID comes, it has to run from me. Don't even want me. That when Satan wake up in the morning and say, oh no, this guy's up again. Trouble. I want to be so full of his spirit. Because that is life. That when something happens in your life, you just, I'm done. Stop licking your wounds. Just tell Satan the way it is. You and God are the majority. Satan already lost. So when he comes to you and tell you anything, says Satan, back off. See? We go through things. We go through things every day. God knows exactly what he needs to do with me so I can make it. He knows exactly what he needs to do. And he knows exactly what he lets me go through. See? Easter seal. I'm almost done here. Let me read you a few more at the minute. Why? She says, they had the potential. They had the quickening power and rise up from the dead. And when with him in the resurrection, that was the first saint of the Old Testament. You see? Enjoying the resurrection with him because they were full of that quickening power. See? Now, if we are full of that quickening power, it's not enough just to say, I am full. Where is it? Show me. Well, it has to see the evidence. We have to see the evidence in your life that quickening power is in you. Just to say it is not enough. It says, and when it says, quickening power and rise up the dead and went with him to the resurrection and joined the resurrection with him because they were full of that quickening power. They had the genuine Easter seal. Well, you said, I wish I lived back on those Old Testament days. Wait a minute. In Thessalonians, the fourth chapter, the 16th verse, I want just to read that. I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning those that sleep, that not, you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again the third day, make alive, he says. Not may believe, but we believe. Even so them that sleep in shall God bring with him. The New Testament saints with the quickening power shall resurrect also in his second coming. See, those are already dead. But the ones some that are going to remain. They're not going to die. They'll be alive and remain. An Old Testament saying with all that quickening power upon who the word of God come to. They resurrected with him and that resurrection morning and with the promise of God that everyone that is in Christ Jesus will also come with him in the resurrection. The quickening power of God upon those bones. Talking about Joseph. Joseph didn't want to be bones left him out there in Egypt. Why? Because they had quickening power. He didn't want to rise up in Egypt. He wanted to rise up in the land, in the promised land. See, it's quickening power that will cast us away. The great quickening power, the quickening power come in these days, last days. See, we have quickening power in the last days. Throughout the 7-8 churches, the 6 churches, there was just a portion. They didn't have quickening power. That's why they could not make the rapture. Now, there's quickening power to make the rapture. See where you're standing? Because you're going to have to. God is not going to lie. You're going to have to be raptured. You don't have to worry to be rapture ready. You leave that to God. You don't have to worry. You will rise. Just have confidence and trust God. What is quickening power coming to the church? See? Making her ready. See? That quickening power will make you ready in this hour that we are approaching. He says, look now at transfiguration. Just before we close, transfiguration, we all represented there in the transfiguration. We represented, he said, look what we are seeing today. Notice, just what we are seeing today, the quickening power of God. We were all there. There was the dead saints represented by Moses. There was the resurrection of Jesus by Christ glorified. Elijah, Moses, Elijah, and Jesus standing in the mountain. The dead saints, the rapturing saints, and Jesus glorified. So this is going to be two ways that I'm going to leave this place. I can die physically, or the rapture happens. But I don't care. Either way, I made it. Either way, I made it. What is the proof? Just because I'm saying it, the proof that God in me shows me the evidence that he chose me. Because I want to be obedient to his word. I desire him. I want him. You know that you cannot love God unless he loves you first. You cannot even make yourself desperate. God has to make you desperate. Humanly speaking, we cannot make ourselves desperate. For God, no. God has to make you desperate. Even that much. You know what? That the faith that you have is not even yours. That the faith that you got to believe God is his own faith that he put in you. We are saved by faith. And it's not of what? It is his. If you hear and you can believe, praise the Lord. Because you cannot do that unless God made a work, has done a work in you. So don't fret it. Don't sweat it. You make it. Why? Because he said it. I believe it, and that settles. All you have to do is just be ready. How can you be ready? Surrender yourself to God. Surrender yourself to his word. And whatever he bids you to do, like Mary, do. I want to do that. And when the evidence of his word is in you, is manifest in you, then you're doing the right things. When the things go south, I mean, something is wrong. Let's all repent and let's come back to it. See? It's all we did. I need to finish quickly. He says, I'm almost done. Let me see. Where are you? Oh, you're almost done too. Okay, 5 minutes. Look, now at transfiguration, we did that. Now, 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. See? So that's one door. With them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. It's not going to be an airplane. There's not going to be a tent. We are not meeting in the tent. We are not meeting in Tucson. We are not meeting in Phoenix. We are not meeting in other churches. Stop running around. We are going to meet in the air. This body is not going to be united here as a physical body to take off. See, when the time comes, this church, when the dead in Christ are rising, you're going to see it. And this church is going to change. Something is going to change. But the same thing is going to happen in Phoenix. And the same thing coming in Africa. The same thing happening in Puerto Rico. And when all that happens and God gathers all his saints, then we meet. So start thinking, well, we got to get united. If we don't get united, we're not going to live here. Listen, don't worry about that. This is what you have to worry, the local church. God has already chose you. And when that day comes, you don't have to worry about the Tucson Tabernacle. The one that I chose, and they're going to see the same thing you see. And when everybody around the world at one time, then we're going to meet in there. So that is my our meeting place. But this is not happening in church, and we are not united. We look like we are more separated than joined together. Worry about yourself and make sure you join to God and that you have the seal and that power that is going to resurrect you that day. And I worry about myself, see? And one of these days when you see the loved ones coming around and things start happening, it's not going to be the whole body, you know, in a place together to see these things. This church, that church, that church. And then 30 days, we all meet in the air. That song, it will be a meeting in the air. Not in the promised land, Tucson. Not in Israel. The meeting is in the air. That's the only meeting that I want to make. If I don't make any other meeting, I want to make that meeting. I don't need to run from church to church. I know the meeting that I want to make, I know where to sit at already. He says, I caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we forever be with the Lord. I got two more things to read. And can you stand and I read these ones? Remember, there's only one hope. Get this quickening power. Without the quickening power, we are not making it. Remember the quickening power. That power that rises up Jesus from the grave. You have faith in what you have got in your own body. See? It is going to help that person that you have got your hands on it. He was going to have a praying line. You see how important it is not only to live right here. We need that quickening power. When we are sick, when we need help, it says, it's going to help that person that you have got your hands on it. It is dwells in you. Man, you know what kind of a power you have? Why do we are complaining and crying out to God that this hurt and that hurt? Why don't you call your brother and your sister and say, lay hands on me? You know what the power in each one of you? In fact, you have so much power in you that the prophet says, you have so much power in you that you can create, if you could, you can create a world and live on it. Well, if God wants us to do that, we do that. That's how much power. Don't you think that if you have a little headache or somebody has a problem that you don't have enough power there to do that? That little woman with a blood issue for 38, he said, if I just can't touch him. He was full of quickening power. It's going to help that person that you have got your hands on. If you have a problem, just call on your brother. Call on your sister. Don't leave it. If it dwells in you, it will also quicken your mortal bodies. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again. We love you, Lord. Father, it is all your work. You were the one that called. You were the one that filled. It is your word, your promises. Father, you cannot fail. All your word is true, and we are here to prove to the world that your word is true. Father, we are sons and daughters of God. Why? Because that's what you said we are. You call us, you fill us, and we are called in this age so we can manifest your works. Father, we are here, Father, because so the world can see that you are true God. And whatever you said, it will happen. And I am the proof that you are alive. I am the proof that you live in me. I am the proof that one of these days, I got the proof of that resurrection in me. Father, we thank you because we are not depending on ourselves. We are not depending on church. We are not depending on a person, Father, either we know that we know that we know, or we don't know. Because you are the only one that has life. And you are the only one. You are the giver of life. And you are the only one can do this work. They search the heaven and they search the earth and they search the underneath the oceans and they look for someone. And it was no one. No one that was worthy to take that book. It was no one. You are the only one worthy. You are the only one. And there's no other one besides you. And we worship you tonight, Father. We thank you for the work you have done in our life. And we continue thanking you for the work you're going to continue doing. It is a process. We need to go on. There's no time to relax. We are in the last days. There's no time to take it easy. There's no time to miss. There's no time to not be. This is the time that the sons and daughters of God will stand together and move forward, Father. And we will encourage each other to continue. Sometimes the journey gets hard. Sometimes it gets tired. Sometimes things happen. But we have a promise. We made it. We made it. Not that I'm going to make it. We made it. Potentially. I'm just waiting for that day. For that time. And until then, God, I believe you. God, I love you and I want to be obedient and I desire you and no one else. Thank you, Lord, again for this opportunity that we have to talk about you, to look at your word, to look at your promises. I thank you for another opportunity, Father, because there must be, we still have something to do, or we are lacking something, but we know, Father, that we continue moving forward and doing the things that you bid us to do. You will finish the work that you started in us. I only have to be responsive to you and to yours. Love to do thy will. As in heaven, it is in earth. Father, thank you again for this group of people. Father, bless them. Those that are listening, Father, bless them as well. We love you, Lord. And until we see each other again, we continue believing, Father, that if it's not here, there we will see each other. Because that is your promise. In Jesus' name, we ask you all these things. Amen and amen. God bless you. I want to try to sing. Come on. If I knew how to avoid.